please. I'm going to pray for all those who have got pain in your body, some kind of a pain, or pain in the family, or pain in the body. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. But before I do that, this is something very impromptu. I just felt led to do this. I'd like to read a testimony that took place last Saturday. Saturday between 2 to 4, I was doing a healing seminar and a healing ministry with a church called Every Nation Church. That's where my second girl is worshiping. And immediately after the session, of course, I didn't see the phone. I was speaking for Rashara, Pastor Suresh's daughter's wedding. But later when I switched on to see the message, I saw a couple of testimony, and I'd like to read one right now. The session was so good. This is sent by Sister Peggy, who organized the healing seminar for the church. The session was so good, I'm indeed so blessed. Throughout the whole session, as Pastor referring to me was praying, suddenly I felt a strong surge of electric like current running through my whole body. If I can produce electricity, I no need to pay Tanaga National. No. I've been suffering. This is definitely Jesus, okay? I've been suffering for a month. Look at the healing took place. It's like a wholesale thing, you know? One just touch, boom, okay? You look at the healing one by one. You know, I felt a strong surge of electric like current running through those online. Hear this too, through my whole body. I've been suffering for a month or more from frozen shoulder. We got frozen meat. We got frozen curry puff and samosa. This is frozen shoulder. And on my left, stiff neck. Look at this wholesale, no? Stiff neck, legs cramp every night. Joints pain, cataract issues, head numbness. My goodness. The whole outpatient clinic is there. Okay? Every department represented. From the eye to the bone, everything, to the neuro. And while praying, I started to be released from pain. Okay? Our job is to receive. God's job is to release. And aching and stiff muscles, I started to be able to stretch my body, even bend down to touch my toes easily. Wow. We all need that as we grow old. And wow, it is really a miracle healing experience. As for my eyes, look at this. As for my eyes, right now, I stopped having double or blurred vision. My goodness. I'm really and truly charged up. This is my testimony. I want to give thanks to God and all glory and praise unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I shared this testimony not to just hear you appreciate, but I want you to receive your healing. Can you do that right now? Come on, stand to your feet, and I want to do this right now. I want to pray for you. If it's somebody else, then let's receive on behalf of somebody else. Let God heal physical body. First of all, pain, physical body, and then families, marriages. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I minister your healing anointing, I command every pain to leave in the name of Jesus. From joint to joint, from muscle to muscle, from nerve to nerve, from tendon to tendon, from organ to organ, Lord, we just minister a holistic healing. Let your healing power just begin to flow. Come on, just reach out to the Lord and receive your healing. You don't ask God anymore. Come on, you just receive. Open the womb that's closed in the name of Jesus. Open the womb that's closed in the name of Jesus. For this day, the Lord will give give you a man child. If you're praying for a child, I'll give you a man child, followed by two girls, says the Lord. Father, I just release this miracle right now in Jesus' name. Come on, just take a few minutes and just grab the miracles right now. By faith. Pain, you have to leave in the name of Jesus. That's right. Come on, all over this place. I want you to just receive your healing and visualize your miracle. Visualize your breakthrough. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We just dwell in the power of your miracle working mighty anointing right now. Thank you, dear Father. We receive it and we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Put your hands together. Give Jesus a glory for your healing. Okay. Today is the 14th day. I'm going to speak a little bit slow because my throat just came back. The last 2 days, I didn't have throat. No? No sound. Sound of music. Huh? Say again? My wife is making fun of me. Okay. Today is the 14th day of our fasting and prayer. Okay. So if you are joining, thank you. We want to thank Patrick for coming, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. Now, today is the 14th day of our fasting and prayer. If you have not joined this prayer, it's not too late. You can backdate the 14 days and finish on the 16th of April. Another 7 more days to go. 1 week to go. We encourage you to join. At least a meal. If you don't want to fast a meal because you cannot fast, it's okay. Just pray at least. Our prayer requests all are posted on our website and different WhatsApp groups. Today we also want to extend our heartfelt congratulations to Pastor Benjamin and Pastor Jessman. One, Pastor Benjamin graduated with Masters and Desmond in Diploma. Okay? We want to extend. They are on the way back, I think. We also want to thank you for supporting faithfully our faith promises. Our missions have been taken care of, and thank you for supporting. If there is one thing this church does not lack is finances. Thank you for your giving. I especially want to highlight Transformation Alliance. We're supporting about 11 nations, kindergartens, and school. If you're led to give, please give to these ministries. We have just started a second kindergarten in Kota Kinabalu, right? Kaningau. And the church that's sponsoring this kindergarten for a season is wanting to withdraw their support. Maybe they have other missions program. So we ask you to graciously consider giving to TA. Thank you. I entitle this short message as we are preparing to celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. I entitle this short message, Good Friday today, Good Friday. Tomorrow I will talk about Resurrection Sunday. Good Friday is all about the obedience of Christ. I think there's some difficulty in the mic. Okay, it's about the obedience of Christ. If Jesus were not obedient, today we will won't have a Good Friday or Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Is that true? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Everybody say the obedience of Christ. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, today we're going to serve communion in a short while. The communion is a result of the obedience of Jesus to the Father's call. We have children's church, you know. Do you want to go to children's church? Two guys here? No? They're adults, is it? Oh, youth. Sorry. They look too small to be youth. Huh? Sit next to them. Huh? Okay. Sorry. Sorry for the disruption. You guys are youth already, yeah? I think like Kuchirat only. They're youth. Huh? Okay. Simply take people into youth, huh? How old are they? Huh? Okay. 14 and 15, huh? Okay, let me ask it. See, you first simply bring them in and... Okay, what? How old are you? My goodness, you? 14. Okay. Now please stand with me. They look small, huh? Guys, no food at home or what? Okay, turn with me please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 6. The obedience of Christ. The purpose of this message is knowing or learning obedience from Jesus. Okay? Now, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Anand, is that Anand? We want to welcome. It's the first time, Anand? Okay, let's welcome Anand all the way from Kuala Lumpur. Okay, let's welcome him. He works with Pastor Charles Abraham, right? And for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Everybody say obedience of Christ. For selama ini kamu hanya dengar obedience of yours. But today we want to look at the obedience of Christ. You right? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, our victory as a Christian, our confidence as a Christian, our strength as a Christian, we draw from the obedience of Christ. Because only the obedience of Christ has been consistent. All our obedience are like yo-yo. Everybody say yo-yo. Okay? And it says here, captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience. All disobedience. Some of us may be living in disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. When is your obedience fulfilled? When you walk in the obedience of Christ. Everybody say obedience of Christ. That's right. Now, Jesus was obedient to the Father completely. Turn to your neighbor and say, completely. Okay? Now, true. Okay? This is what the Bible tells us. In Hebrew, the 12th chapter, verse 2. Give me a yes. Okay? I cannot be shouting. Okay, I need throat. Okay? And this is what the scripture tells us. For looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy was set before him. What was the joy? You and I are the joy. Set before him. He endured the cross, endured the suffering. Okay? Endured the suffering, despising the shame, and sat at the right hand throne of the Father. Jesus' obedience was unto death. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, very quickly, I like to share with you 5 different kinds of obedience that's found amongst us as the body of Christ. Okay? Now, there are 5. Everybody say 5. Okay? There's not just 1. Obedience and disobedience. No. There are 5. Various kinds of obedience that's found in the church. And the purpose of this message is that we can draw obedience from Jesus so that we can no longer walk in our disobedience. Come on, are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? Okay, number 1, partial obedience. Partial. Partial obedience is disobedience. How many of you partially obey the Lord? Okay, don't put up a hand. A lot of hands will go up, you know. It might get striked, okay? Now, partial obedience is disobedience. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, especially in verse 3, now Samuel, the prophet, tells King Saul, I want you to go to the Amorites and completely destroy the Agagites and every one of them, and you need to utterly destroy them, ground to ground, dust to dust, wastage to wastage, destroying to destroying. and don't bring anything back as a spoil. You know what King Saul did? He brought back King Agag and some of the fat calves and the fat calves and all that. And when Samuel came to offer sacrifices to God for the victory, Saul already offered the sacrifice. And Samuel asked him this question, Prophet said, what is the noise that I'm hearing? You know, I brought some signs of my victory. You see, that's partial obedience is disobedience. How many of you partially obey God? Okay, number two, reluctance. Everybody say reluctance. This is reluctance obedience. Reluctant. Yeah, no choice, la. You know, reluctance. Okay? How many of you have done that? I got no choice. I have to give to God. I got no choice. I have to do this. I've got no choice. Friends, no. Life is full of choices. Can somebody say amen, please? You know what? Jonah refused to preach the gospel to the Ninevites. Right? He was angry. They were sinful, they were stubborn people, and he went through the sea and then went through the whale. How many of you remember the story, right? And he came out and repented, and then he went to preach to the city of Nineveh. And Nineveh is about 3 days' journey. But within 1.5 days, all of them repented. Say, everybody say, all repented. Such was the anointing over Jonah, you know. But you know what Jonah, the Bible tells us in Jonah the fourth chapter verse 1. Jonah was, very displeased. Look at this. He was very displeased, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly and became angry. Can you imagine? This is the first time I'm hearing someone getting angry with the salvation of people. How many of you are angry your family is safe? And this is what Jonah did. He was angry. He was angry. How come so quickly they got saved? How many of you don't want your family members to be saved? Finish for you, I'm telling you. And he was angry. You know why? Reluctance. He obeyed the Lord, but he reluctantly obeyed the Lord. Come on. Somebody say amen, please. That's why when we give to God, we're supposed to give to God cheerfully and not grudgingly. Okay? And then, number three, okay, does that apply to you? Number three, we have delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed. Everybody say delayed. Yeah. You know, the Lord, give you an example. Huh? The Lord told Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4, the Lord told Abraham, Abraham, get out of your country. Get out of your family, get out of your household, and then I will show you a place where you need to go. You know what our friend did? He got out of the country, went to a place called Haran. Everybody say Haran. Haran. He went to a place called Haran, and who followed? You know who followed? His father. Huh? The father. The father followed, and then the family followed, nephew followed, Lot. And because of this partial or delayed obedience, Abraham could not see the promised land. Really could not see the promised land. You know, the father had to die. Abraham actually killed the father. I mean, not literally, no. Because of his disobedience, God has to take the father away because God had a better plan. Can somebody say amen, please? Number two, between Lot's men and Abraham's herdsmen, there was a misunderstanding. Why? Because Abraham delayed in his obedience. So therefore, he forfeited many days of his life. Okay? Delayed. How many of you have delayed? God called you and you say, Lord, wait until my daughter finishes a university. Sounds very logical. Oh, Lord, I will retire and I give my retirement to you. You think what? God is running a retirement home? That he wants all the retirees in? No. God wants your prime time. Everybody say prime time. Not your wasted time or your old age. When you retire, you know what's going to happen? All kinds of sickness will come. You know, when you stop working. Okay? Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? Number one, partial obedience is disobedience. It could be your giving, it could be your praying, it could be your serving. And reluctant obedience, I got no choice. That's disobedience. Delayed obedience is also disobedience. And forced obedience, say forced. Dipaksa, forced. Now look at me, everybody look at me. At one point of our lives, we face all this. Face, forced, okay? Viknesh, make sure your wife takes note for you, okay? Okay, it can apply to me, not you, okay? How can I be a judger, man? Okay, look at me, please. Let your wife do the judging, okay? Anyway, coming back to this. Okay, she does all the time, right? Okay, right. I mean, judging, not taking notes. Okay. Okay, forced obedience. You know, Peter, how many of you know Peter reluctantly said yes to the call of God? In Matthew, the 4th chapter. No. You know how this came out? Peter, in Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 28. Look at the scripture, you know. He said, we left everything and followed you. What for? Look at that. That's the tone of his voice. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Huh? What do we got? Nothing, love, of course. That's the tone of his voice. If you go back and read, then Jesus said, you'll receive 100-fold. Come on. So, are you forced? Are you forced to do what you're doing for the Lord? That's disobedience. That's disobedience. There's no blessing in that. And finally, I want you to know, God loves absolute obedience. Absolute. Everybody say absolute. Absolute obedience. That means total. James, total. James, cover your nose, James. Total. You know, not little here, little there. Total. Everybody say total. You know, total obedience cannot take place if there's no willingness in our heart. Look at Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19. You look at everybody, look at this. I'm talking to a church that has come back from pandemic. And the post-pandemic. Doesn't matter, don't worry. There's another mic right there. Now, Jesus requires absolute obedience. And this absolute obedience cannot take place if there is no willingness. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Can somebody say amen, please? Is that wonderful? Come on, is that wonderful? Come on, come on. Now, someone said this. Church, listen to this. Someone said this. If you major in the commandments of God, you will abound in the blessings of God. If you major in the commandments of God, you will abound in the breakthroughs of God. Are you here with me? Not my words. Somebody else. Now, this is my word now. The next two is Benedict Rajan. You can tweet this. You can do whatever you want to do with this. There is more freedom and joy in obedience than disobedience. There's no more joy and freedom in obedience than in disobedience. Wow. Why? In disobedience, there's always a voice of guilt. There's always a voice of fear. There's always a voice of condemnation. It's like a prison that keeps you from living a total life in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. This is total life. Everybody say total life. As a Christian, you can live a total life. Even though your circumstances are not total. Your surroundings may not be total, but you can live a total life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Is that wonderful? Come on, somebody say amen. And then, this is my words too, obedience promotes a surrendered heart. All to Jesus, I freely give. But disobedience promotes a heart that's cluttered. A heart that's cluttered. Cluttered with what? My agenda, my purpose, my plan, my ambition, my purpose. Are you here with me or not? One day I'll be able to preach this. And I'd like to share with you in the short time we have three dynamic aspects of your obedience to God. Okay, we are all adults. We know the definition of obedience, right? If you walk out and you don't wear a mask, I don't know whether they are penalizing you now. I'm not sure. Okay? And if we know we need to obey. Okay? Now, what more than obeying God? Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? We're so careful to obey the traffic rules and the call of this nation. But what about obeying God? Okay, three dynamic aspects. Number one, obedience always pleases God. Everybody say, pleases God. You know, we cannot celebrate Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday without knowing obedience. Seriously. Obedience always pleases God. Now look at me, please. When Jesus was ready to be revealed to the people, one of the things that was required was the baptism of John. It's according to the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Okay? That's why we don't follow the law, we follow grace. Are you here with me? Follow the grace and truth. You know what? Look at me, please. Jesus, being the Son of God, he went to be baptized. And probably who baptized? John the Baptist baptized Jesus. As soon as he came out, you know, he heard a loud voice. Let's read. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Jesus obeyed the baptism of John. It came to pass, do you have the scripture? It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And we went for the Israel trip, right? How many of you got baptized in the Israel trip, in River Jordan? I think, okay, my wife, you know. Did I get baptized? No, I also got baptized. Dirty, okay? Anita got baptized 5 times. Every time she goes, you want to be baptized again. They give you the robe, blah, and you have to, you know, go there and get baptized, you know. And when you go inside, you imagine you are Jesus, you know. You come out, you don't hear any voice, only the crow crowing. Okay. And immediately, look at this. And immediately coming upon from the water, he saw heaven open. You know why heaven opened? Heaven doesn't open. Heaven only opens on two occasions, when heaven wants to release the power of God and heaven wants to rejoice. You look at this, what happened? And he saw heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then the heaven was not closed. Then a voice came from heaven. Look at this. And I like to hear this about me. And I hope Jesus will say this one day to me. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well, not just pleased, well pleased. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Obedience causes you to be well pleased. Come on, look at me. What is the end result? What is the outcome? What is the end result of you pleasing or delighting God through obedience? You know what? Very simple. Psalms 20 verse 4. Give me Psalms 20. May he grant, look at this. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. That's right. He will grant the desires of your heart. We read in Psalms 37. Psalms 37 verse 4. It says here, delight. Say delight. You know the word delight is to please God. We have all kinds of delight, right? Chicken delight. Do we have some delight brand? What delight is that? Okay. Wow, suddenly everybody's so holy now. Delight what, huh? There's one brand very popular, right? Delight what? Okay, never mind. We'll talk about that later. Delight yourself in the Lord. Okay, please the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Even before you utter prayer, even before you intercede for your needs, even before your needs can be met, it's already in your heart. And God grants the desires of your heart. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? You know, whenever I go in the plane those days, I used to wonder, how does the pilot feel taking the plane up? You know, and sometimes I like to visualize I'm taking the plane, piloting the plane. How many of you have thought about that? Oh, okay, some dudes like me too. And you know what? Many years later, God granted the desire of my heart. A captain and his wife got saved. They're still here. Captain got saved. And he runs a flying club. I was the first president of the club. Because he was a Singaporean, so, oh, that's big club. Abu Bundada president. But I had one thing, you know what? I had free flying lessons. Yeah, my wife nodding head. Okay, can I fly a plane? No, I can only fly a bird now. You know what? God grants a desire. Are you here with me? Okay, so let's be champion of obedience. Now look at me, please. Obedience is virtually by the grace of God. It's not by your own strength. Nobody can obey God in the natural. It is by the grace of God. In all our disobedience, when we desire to obey God, then God helps us. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Is that wonderful? Don't you want to please God? Now, how many of you want to please God? Wave your hand to me. Only a few of you. All of you, right. That's right. We want to please God. Next week, we'll have the opportunity to hear Dr. Monica's healing testimony. God healed her miraculously. She's a medical doctor, but she threw all the medical report and trusted the report of God's word, and God just healed her. Right, Monica? Okay, right. Come on, let's appreciate God. Monica is in the service, okay? Number two, obedience is our God-chosen lifestyle. Every Christian who wants to live a Christian life must choose obedience as their lifestyle. If any other lifestyle you choose, you're going to be finished. You know why? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. You know what the Bible says? There seems a way that's right to man. There seems a way that's right to man. No, not to God. It's some man. But eventually it leads to destruction. Are you here with me? That's why Proverbs the 3rd chapter verse 5 says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him become your compass of life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The rudder of your life. Isn't that wonderful? And He will direct your path. I'd like you to turn your Bibles right now to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24 to 27. I want you to see this, okay? This is so important, okay? Obedience is our God-chosen lifestyle. For some reason, if you're struggling with disobedience, I pray the grace of God will be sufficient for you to obey Him. Are you here with me? Come on. Somebody say amen, please. That you will obey Him because of the grace of God. Come on. Let's read. Matthew, so are you still with me? Okay. Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to His disciples, we are His disciples. Everybody say, I'm His disciples. Okay. If anyone desires to come after me, kalokamu suka ikotsayam, let him deny himself. Deny. Everybody say deny. Irene, say deny. Irene, are you there? Okay, deny. He says, deny. Let him deny himself. Take up the cross. Pay the price. Everybody say, pay the price. And follow me. Follow me. And then he said, for whoever desires to save his life desires to save his life will lose it. You know what lose it? That's champion of obedience. The devil is a champion of disobedience. Look at Ephesians. Everybody look at this. Come on, everybody. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. Prince, okay? Everybody say prince. Okay, and walking power of the air, their spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. The devil has got a PhD in disobedience. That's how Eve was deceived. So when you live in disobedience, whose follower you become? You can answer yourself the question. Okay? Now, and then Jesus said, look at this, and Jesus said, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Lose in obedience. Say lose in obedience. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Hapaguna. And then he says, now look at this. This is a reward. Everybody say reward. Obedience brings reward. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward. Everybody say reward. Manghadiakan, reward each according to his works. What works is this? Not PKK, not social works, but works of obedience. Everybody say works of obedience. Come on, it's a rewarding life. Everybody say rewarding life. Now look at me. Everybody look at me. In the beginning, when you obey God, you need to go through the test of obedience. And after you pass the test of obedience, the rest of your life is a reward for your obedience. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. Now let's look. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1 and 2. Tomorrow morning, I'll continue this message too. I've got 6 aspects, you know. Now it shall come to pass. Now, not tomorrow. 不是, 明天, 今天, today. Okay? Now it'll come to pass. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above. Look at the high above all nations of the earth and all these blessings from head to toe. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Come on, everybody look at me. Overtake. Overtake. From the Father to the Son, from the Son to the daughter, from the daughter to the grandchildren, from the grandchildren to the neighbors, from the neighbors to the church members, and to church members to the community that you're serving, your workplace, from your workplace to everywhere that you would go, you become a favor of the Lord. Put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Whoa, whoa, come on, somebody shout, whoa, whoa, isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? Okay, I didn't touch anybody, okay? I just stayed clear. Come on, are you here with me? They will come and overtake you. Huh? Everybody say, huh? That's the reward of obedience. In Hokkien, there is a word that says what? Chapal. What?
Chapalebui. No.
Chapa. I can't. What is that? Eat, then you have more than enough. Chapalyao. Chia Belial. People from Penang, they cannot speak Hokkien. It's a shame. She's from Penang. Everybody can speak Hokkien in Penang. Huh? Even the guys who are buying, selling drugs, they speak in Hokkien too. Because biggest dealers there. Are you here with me or not? Huh? That's how the blessings will come and overtake. Now, listen to me. In the beginning, obedience is difficult. Really. I'm not promoting anything easy. But I tell you, eventually, obedience will become a rewarding life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. I'd like to share with you two testimonies. You want to hear now? I go up. Okay, worship team, can you come? We're done, worship team. You know, friends, not too long ago, this happened 2 or 3 years, testimony, 2 or 3 years before the pandemic. When I was preparing this message, I remembered this testimony. There were two brothers in Christ that were involved in investment. You know, investment. Over the years, the investment grew and multiplied. One is from JB, the other one is from my satellite church. Grew, and both of them worked together so well, you know. And I marveled because I brought them together, and one can speak English well, the other one can only speak Mandarin, you know, and Bahasa Malaysia. You know what? Let me finish this. Thank you, sir. You know what? As they grew, they brought in people outside to be part of this investment group. And suddenly one day, they cannot see eye to eye. Not because of their opinion, but somebody else's opinion. And then one person decided that he will walk away. And before he walks away, he wanted what is due to him. So person A told the person B, now give me time to settle. But B said, please settle me. I want a clean break. Okay? So I sat with A. And I told A, by now, you should have savings. You should have properties too. Now, why don't you just have a clean break? So A told me, I said, no, I have money. If I don't have, I'll be lying to you. But I want to keep that for rainy days. So I asked him this question. Your business has got no roof. Rain is coming in. You know, I made fun of him. So I told him this. Hey, brother, I want to say this as a pastor to you. The Bible clearly says, owe no one anything except to love. Right? Romans 13 and verse 8. And he said, okay, Pastor, I'll obey. He was very reluctant to liquidate some of his fixed assets and so on and so forth. You know what he did? He obeyed the word. I remember he obeyed the word. And he settled with the brother. He went with some people. And you know what? Along the way, just 1 year, God gave him more than 5 times than what he would receive in a year in partnership. Come on, put your hands together, give Jesus a glory. See, obedience. Obedience is a seed that we plant in the harvest of God. Whether it's finance or healing, whatever it is. My second testimony. Okay, last 2 weeks I've been traveling. But before I travel, I take time to pray. I don't accept any appointment without praying. Okay, I prayed. While I was praying, the Lord clearly told me, son, you go and preach in the missions convention. I want you to pledge. Pledge. Sure, I do that one. Wherever I go, when I speak, and then the Lord clearly told me, don't receive their offering. Number two, also the other place that I preached last week, the Lord also told me very specifically, don't receive any offering. Give it back. Very clear. Give it back. You know, friends, obedience is a rewarding life. Everybody say rewarding life. The most I think they would give in both places, I think one person gave me 2,700. I gave it back, of course. No big deal, okay? Because the Lord told me, okay? And then the second place, I don't know how much they gave because I didn't open. I didn't want to see anything. So I just gave it back and reluct. The first one, of course, didn't receive, my classmate. I said, no, you take it. That's how I knew the amount. Finally, I convinced him to take back. This one, I said, the Lord doesn't want me to take. He wants me to bless you. You know what? The most I would have received, when we talk about money, people get nervous, huh? The most I would have received in these two places, maybe 4,000, 3,005, maybe 3,005. You know, I tell you, because I obeyed the Lord gave me 5,640 Sing dollar. Come on. Let's give Jesus a glory. All of you are Singapore champions, what? You can calculate what? Just because I obeyed the Lord. You see? Obedience is a profitability. Obedience is an investment into the kingdom of God. Obedience is better than sacrifices. The sacrifice of worship, the sacrifice of your giving, the sacrifice of your works. Obedience is number one. Can somebody say amen, please? Having said this, what is the consequences of disobedience? God's not going to chop you into pieces. No. That's not the God I know. You know what? The disobedience consequences is Proverbs 14:12. There seems a way that's right to man, eventually leads to death. You know, whatever you touch will not prosper. Are you here with me? Can we stand to our feet and let's worship the Lord as we prepare. Those online and those here, let's prepare our hearts to obey God and to receive communion. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord.